Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From Vegas to Miami, from Bob's Bar to your local bar, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we're coming to you from the CBS Sports Radio studios here. It is the D.A. Show on a Game 7 reaction Tuesday.
There you go.
Damn, I did it already. I blew it already. It's a trash Tuesday, not a Monday. It feels like a Monday off of the extended Memorial Day weekend. And Bogey with me, Mraz here, of course, D.A. Now A.J. home from the hospital. D.A. will be out today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and return next Tuesday, a week from today, as he learns to be a dad. And judging by early texts that Bogus and I have both exchanged with D.A. throughout the weekend, boy, is he swimming upstream.
I think he went back into the hospital.
Exactly.
For safety.
The most prepared man I've ever seen as far as like work goes and stringent and everything. It was very nice to have already gone through the idea of having a newborn at home and basically have my feet up on a gravity chair so we could exchange a text with DA going, oh man, my boy is cooked.
Yeah.
And, he is cooked.
And like I said to you coming on the air, it's like a Seinfeld skit.
Yeah.
He's like, he's always here. He always wants something. It's like yeah. He's just, yeah, they're needy.
Yeah.
And it never goes away. It just changes the needs.
So if you're looking for an update on DA, you know, I'll update you throughout the show, but let me just say this. I was told this via text from DA. The overnight years of the DA show have prepared me. I've taken the overnight shift.
Oof.
So DA is doing all the up all nights, and he said he's basically binged a bunch of movies, by the way.
Uh-oh.
This is now the new bit that he may come back with, which is, you know, DA, critics with DA, he's catching up on stuff. He watched both Air and You People, apparently, during overnight feedings.
What's You People?
Oh, You People was great. It was with Eddie Murphy, Jonah Hill, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It was the Netflix movie.
Okay.
Oh, it was fun. I actually laughed my ass. It was one of the funniest movies I've seen in the last couple of years. But he's watched that. So we'll get DA back. But, you know, just know he's going through it right now. He's going through it.
Yeah, he seems to be a happy mess.
Yeah, and Pete the Body as well seems very happy.
He's the same Pete. I mean, we got the same normal, cranky, angry, critical texts over a weekend.
Yeah.
That we would have gotten from Pete, new baby or not. So he seems to be fine.
Yeah, I don't. You couldn't even tell Pete had a baby, basically, the way he's acting, which is probably good. He's probably made for it. But we will do full game 7 here at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogus. If you're listening, going, where's my stream? Where's my stream? We are streaming audio only today. All of our great radio affiliates free on the Odyssey app, Sirius XM 158. No visuals as Andrew Kaplan off with his baby. It's baby, 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 baby.
Not a new baby as far as we know.
No, 8 months old, I think. So we'll have all of that. Patty Boyle with us, EJ Stewart with us, Greg Cassert on your updates. Canadian Bacon comes up later on. But let's get right into it, man. We're here to fully digest. If you're tuning in, waking up this morning, we thought we might be in for an epic one. It kind of fell flat in Boston. The Celtics do not pull off the improbable 3-0 comeback. Instead, the heat is on. The heat is on. Dun, 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 dun. I think I just sung that wrong. But either way.
Close enough. On to what, though, is the question.
Miami is heading to the NBA Finals. So the question has to be asked, how could Boston fail that miserably last night? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Jimmy with the rock. 36 seconds to go in the third. Goes baseline. Kicks it out to Martin. Martin sidestep for three. Splash! Everybody's all upset. They think Jimmy stepped on the baseline. Only three people get to decide if he did.
I think that everybody sees what he's doing in the games. But the real work is done when he's in the gym by himself with his trainer. All the countless amounts of reps to prepare him for this moment. He doesn't shy away from it.
Down to 10 on the shot clock. 3:30 to go in the game. Finds Jimmy on the cut. The throwdown. He has 20. 28. His 12th make in 28 tries. Tick-tock. Tick-tock. Heat up 20.
What happened last year, you know, obviously was on our mind, and it drove us this year. And that's what you always hope for competition, that it can drive you to a higher level. And I think that's what you saw in this series this year, to be able to have to overcome a lot of stuff.
As the Eastern Conference Championship belongs to the Heat, 103-84 the final, for the seventh time in the 35 years of Miami Heat basketball, your Miami Heat will battle for the NBA's title.
You remember that type of stuff as a competitor and as an organization. And, you know, we just wanted to compete and come out and give our best effort and leave no regrets. And I think that's when we have that type of, you know, energy, I think, you know, things go our way.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right. Obviously, Miami Heat Radio. Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, and Caleb Martin, who somehow did not win Eastern Conference Finals MVP, despite the fact that Reggie Miller told us all night that he was going to win it and then didn't vote for him himself, which is just unbelievable. The Heat win 103-84 last night. And Bogus and Boyle are my witnesses here. Not to pat myself on the back. Earlier in the day, I said, I'm pretty sure the Heat are going to win this game anyway. I sent a text to both of you guys. I felt really good about it. I bet on it. And I kept coming back to this, Bogues. Everybody in the world thinks a team is going to win, it's usually not a good sign that that team is going to win. And for 2 days after Saturday night's loss, anybody I talked to, how could the Heat recover from that? How could the Heat recover from that? Well, not factoring in the fact Boston just used all of its energy. And, I mean, this is why teams were 150-0 from coming back three games to none.
Right.
To go through everything game by game, that's emotionally exhausting. And have that incredible buzzer beater on Saturday night. I questioned how much Boston would have left in the tank. And then throw in that you might have a little side of arrogance heading into the game. We're at home. We could do no wrong. And basically, they start off pretty hot from the first 5 minutes. But Jason Tatum on that very first play hurts his ankle. And from that point forward, it was so obvious. He hadn't come out in the first quarter all series long. He comes out in the first quarter. He's doing the limp thing. Look, is that an excuse? I guess partially. Is it an excuse as to why this is essentially a 20-point game? Well, let's not kid ourselves. In the three losses, Jason Tatum was a non-factor early on. Jason Tatum has not proven enough as a reliable NBA star to just let you know that his injury completely cost the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, by the way, you want to talk about the most empty 19 points you will see in a game. He was awful at times. Marcus Smart, and I only know this because I had a parlay cooking, had two rebounds in basically the first 5 minutes of the game. Didn't have a board the rest of the night. Top to bottom, this is a complete failure by the Boston Celtics. I am not going to solely pin this on the Tatum injury. I'll acknowledge it's a fact. But honestly, I think that you're seeing now why it's happened multiple times in hockey, because you have all these rounds, deflections, and everything that coming back from 3-0 down. It's only happened once in baseball, not easy to do. Basketball, when you consider the smallest rosters of any of the four major sports, you know, the emotions that go into it, the swings back and forth, I'm not sure we will ever see a team accomplish this feat, pulling it off, coming back from 3-0 down. And I think you just saw how emotionally exhausting it could be in that attempt.
I mean, as you said, after they won game four to stay alive, they were set up as well as anybody could be to pull this off, because they were, in theory on paper, the better team. They would have had game seven at home. That next game was at home to keep the momentum going in game five. And they got to game seven last night. And yeah, you did say that you thought the Heat were going to win. I thought the Celtics were going to win. I thought it was on the table for it to be a one-sided game because I thought going back home for game seven was the icing on the cake for the Celtics. That whatever fatigue they had, whatever drain there was, going back home in that building, which was on fire for game five, would have been good enough. And the start was fine, even with Tatum hurting himself immediately. It was quickly, 14-4, 14-6?
Yeah. It flipped minutes left in the first quarter.
And then that was it.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And credit to the Heat for even showing up for the game. And then every single time Boston tried to get back in it, they could get to 9, they could get to 8, maybe it was close to 7 or 6, and then right away the Heat rebuilt the lead again.
And it was almost always a Caleb Martin bucket, by the way, that ended those runs.
Or however many threes Butler hit, 3 or 4 of them, every single one of them was important. There were no throwaway threes. They all had a point in pushing the lead back to where it needed to be. It was a clinical effort from the best coach in the NBA and one of the best clutch players in the NBA. And then whatever you want to call Caleb Martin, because he was spectacular last night and had a tremendous series, and he absolutely should have been the series MVP.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. By the way, so I think it was 4-3 or 5-4, whatever. 5-4 is EJ alludes to. Jimmy Butler wins Eastern Conference Finals MVP, which is fine. But the irony is, Reggie Miller spent basically the entire second half talking about how Caleb Martin should be the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and then we see Reggie Miller's ballot revealed, and he voted for Jimmy Butler, which is unbelievable. And Jimmy Butler finishes with 28 last night, Bogues. And it, by the way, 855-212-4227. He finishes with 28 points. In that third quarter, to think of the night Jimmy Butler could have had, him and Bam Adebayo went through a stretch in the fourth quarter. And this is where the Celtics, I thought, really lost the game. You know, Tatum injuries be damned, because Tatum drilled a 3 during the midst of this. Jimmy Butler had some of the ugliest misses for like 3 or 4 possessions. We're like, damn, even like a layup underneath the glass. Then you had the play where Bam Adebayo doesn't even have any concept of the shot clock running out, tries to feed it to Jimmy Butler underneath the basket. No time left. On the shot clock, and it was like Bam and Butler, Bam worse so, but they were atrocious for points in the third quarter. Jimmy Butler turns it back on, and the fourth quarter, man, you talk about a long goodbye. It's the fourth quarter starts, and like, all right, the Celtics could be into this, and it was like in a blink of 2-3 minutes, you're like, wow, the game's over. It just became Jaylen Brown, clank, clank, clank. It was over, man, and we'll get into this throughout the show. We're going to, you know, hit on this multiple times, the future of the Celtics. You know, after the game, the TNT crew, as I couldn't really sleep right away, talking about, you know, maybe the future of Missoula. I mean, I think the future of Jaylen Brown is very much in question here. I think it's likely he's gotten dealt, but boy, do you feel good about that if you're a team acquiring him. Yeah, I think he kind of showed he wasn't a one. But again, when Butler and Bam are not playing that great in the third quarter like that, and it's just Caleb Martin, every time he got the ball in his hands, you know, a sprinkle of Gabe Vincent here or there, it was... How could the Celtics just not respond? Like, that was the time for the Celtics to take advantage. And I think it was Van Gundy and Miller both at the same time saying it felt like a 90s game in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, defense, missed shots, ugly possessions, earning every trip up.
For all the credit we're going to give the Heat for that effort last night, they did open the door at times for a Celtic rally. And then they're like, oh, my bad. And they closed it again.
Yeah.
Bam was at times terrible last night. And I think we're on 4 games of him being basically terrible. That one sequence where he had the ball and Derek White on his hip.
Yeah.
And he went up soft, like falling away. Like, he's just obviously needs to get straightened out before game one Thursday in Denver. But, yeah, there were absolutely chances in this game last night for Boston to get all the way back in. Derek White was trying so hard.
Yeah.
Tatum couldn't help him. And Jaylen Brown, basically no-showed. You said it perfectly. 19 hollow points.
Yeah.
8 turnovers. Terrible decisions. That game was begging to be the Jaylen Brown game, not the Caleb Martin game, and Jaylen just couldn't do it.
And that's probably all you need to know if you're a Celtic fan about Jaylen Brown, too. Your star player gets hurt in the first possession, and Jaylen Brown could do nothing to carry it, and Derek White did so much more.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of fun on this show, me versus you and DA on the Celtic legacy and Brad Stevens and whatnot, and I think the conversations that you guys were having then that were too early are now conversations to have here in this spot, that they changed head coaches. Brad Stevens brought in new pieces around these two lead guys. Tatum's, he's still a baby, and I know he's inconsistent. We also saw him score, have six ridiculous quarters to close out the Sixers in the last round. And I'll give his ankle more credit for last night than you will, because I just wonder if he's able to be Jason Tatum. Is he the one that stops the Heat initial push and the game never gets any real distance between it? We'll never know. Maybe Miami still wins even if Tatum goes off, but it wasn't going to be Jaylen Brown last night. It was a lot to ask of Derek White. Maybe it's Tatum's ability to be an elite player that changes the early flow in that game if he's fully healthy. But there's nothing to change with Tatum, but you've got to change the overall. You know, they fixed the middle and the bottom of the roster. Now they need to fix the top and really consider a Jaylen Brown trade.
No doubt about it, and I think they will. And just also on that broadcast last night, again, I think the Heat would have won anyway, but I thought Van Gundy calmed down late when he points out Tyler Hero, who, by the way, looks like, you know, basically a six-year-old sitting on the bench with a bucket cap last night. When he uttered the words, you know, Heat fans don't want to hear about this Tatum injury tonight. Remember, they've done this whole thing about Tyler Hero. I understand he's a 20-point-per-game scorer. The comparison would be if Jimmy Butler had come out of the game. Like, that's the star players. And then you have a Reggie Miller that goes, and don't forget, they're without Victor Oladipo. I mean, I think America forgot Victor Oladipo was on the Heat. Calm down. Yeah. Not the same thing as Jason Tatum getting hurt in this game. Relax. Relax a little bit.
You can mention those names as you try to understand how Miami's doing this, because they shouldn't be able to do it fully stocked.
Yes.
And you take those two guys off the table. I mean, you and I had this conversation.
I get that point, right. But
we sat here in round one talking about how significant Hero was as opposed to Giannis being out for the Bucks, because I didn't see how Miami could score enough without Hero supporting Butler to even beat Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez. And they won that one easily, and they're in the damn finals again. It's unbelievable.
And if you want to chime in on this, 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. And why the heck not? Let's get the day started with David in Columbia, Montana. David, what's up?
That's Missouri, sweetheart.
M.O. All right, Columbia. What's up, David?
Hey, I just want to get your all's take about that. First of all, I really enjoy your show, but I want to get your take on, the Nuggets are going to have 9 days off. But Miami's got 2 days off. I know they keep statistics on everything these days. Is there any real stats or your all's thoughts about who has the advantage in terms of rest versus no rest?
Well, David, first of all, thanks for the call. I will tell you that this was going to be part of my research, because we're going to have to stretch this out the next couple of days about the teams versus rest or no rest. Because you've seen one of these Warrior teams had like 9 days off, and I'm pretty sure won the finals as well.
Yeah.
I will just say straight up, rest or no rest, Denver Nuggets fans had to be sitting there, besides Miami Heat fans, as the happiest people last night. Because let's just be real. First of all, look at the way Bam Adebayo is playing right now. I mean, I think I love Jokic no matter what, but I mean, is there going to be any contest to what he could do in the paint? And number two, the Nuggets are the flat-out better team. Now, I will not discount Miami, because now they've beaten the Bucks, they've beaten the Celtics, but I got to think that the Nuggets are licking their chops at this matchup.
Do you remember the conversations that were happening when Miami got up 3-0? People were wondering if they should go right to Denver after sweeping game four to get there, get acclimated to the higher elevation, get their lungs and their whatever in check to be able to play game one. That's all off the table here. I think the history of rest versus non-rest really only applies to game one, where you might be rusty in game one. I don't think it leads to series success, but it might be good news for Miami to keep rolling, to keep playing, where Denver might be rusty and whatever. Maybe they can steal game one and get ahead in the series, but it's asking a lot to go to Denver and get quickly acclimated and play a better team.
And by the way, they're going to have almost 72 hours between tips.
And they're there now.
Yeah, and that was, how about yesterday? When that got tweeted out, can you believe the Heat have a flight to Denver booked after? Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Because what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Sit around at Logan Airport tomorrow night, hoping to, tonight or this morning, hoping to get their charter out?
Right, and like
that's what traveling secretaries do for teams. They book their trips. They plan.
Well, it's also they're not flying Delta. They're on a plane that they can just tell to go wherever they wanted to go. They could have flown to Cancun last
night. You just need to plan and book a route for what do you call them? The flight people?
The FAA.
The FAA.
But that takes 2 seconds.
Right. Newsflash. They also had a flight booked home to Miami.
Right. They had a plane that was theirs going wherever they wanted to go. The thing was, and of course any coach would have done it, Spoelstra told them to pack for a week in Denver because they wanted to go there. Right. That was the part of the motivation to recover and be ready for game 7. That was such a non-story. And people were like, can you believe they would do this? How could they put themselves at risk of jinxing it?
Exactly. Like me with the broom.
Always back to you.
All right. Speaking of back to me, I'm going to toss the break here. When we come back, the best audio of the day, including Hot Take Hickey from the NCAA Lacrosse Final Four. Because, of course, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. By the way, before we get going to Soundcheck, I love the two guys working on the show today, EJ and Boyle, on my top five list for sure out of five people.
As a duo or individually?
As a dude, you want to talk about hard hat guys. Boyle here yesterday for sure. I don't know if EJ worked yesterday on Memorial Day, but he did. He's putting his thumbs up.
Of course he did.
But I just saw Pat Boyle deliver a drink to EJ. Like we're at like a party. Hey, can I get you something from the bar? He delivers him a glass of water. I mean, what kind of producing is that? I would never hand Bilotti a glass of water. Ever.
It's almost like Boyle's the locker room leader that you say you are.
Ooh. That's fine. He could tell. I mean, this locker room's a disaster. He wants to lead it. He can. No skin off my back. That was cool. That was nice of you. I noticed.
I always ask. I figured I'm going to get it. Why not just grab a cup of water? Now, I did spill some of the water on the way back from the newsroom. And your good pal, Boomer Esiason's right down the hall at WFAN. So I had to go back and clean that up. Last thing I need is Boomer breaking his hip trying to walk to the bathroom. And then that's on my hands.
Is that an old man joke?
Wow.
No. I mean, if I fell, I'd probably break my hip.
Not for nothing. That's how CBS gets Matt Ryan in. They might have rooted for it. All right.
They figure one old quarterback will get hurt soon.
Exactly. Thanks, Boyle. All right. Let's start it off with Michael Soroka, the Braves pitcher. I'm pitching for the first time since suffering two separate tears of his Achilles. That would be in the heel in 2020. Talking about all the people that believed in him.
The people that believed in me always said I was going to be back here for the people that believed in me, not the ones that said I couldn't. So, those people are my dad, training staff here and a group I work with in Arizona, and a lot of people that have helped me along the way. You know, there's been some people in my corner for a long, long time that have stuck by me, and you know, it's a day for them too. So, yeah, those were the people that kept me going and kept me to this day right here.
I give Soroka a lot of credit. Now, he's fortunate in, look, it's not easy to pitch because you need your legs, but if this was basketball or football or, dare I say, hockey, where it's constantly like a speed game, my guess is there would be some serious, even bigger questions about Soroka coming back. But either way, man, if I pop my Achilles once, I'm not even going to exercise again.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine coming back from two to play sports again.
The first time he did it, he was just covering first base against the Mets. And then the second time, I think he was walking into spring training and it popped again on him.
Ugh.
And this is a great story, except if you're like a petty, like me, Mets or Phillies fan, and the last thing the Braves need is to get back to full health with their pitchers.
There you go.
Like, Spencer Strider is enough. Now Soroka's back, and Max Fried will be back soon.
Yeah.
And Acuna's hitting 7,000, and Mendelsohn has 30 home runs.
They're a good team.
They don't need any more good news.
Now, I don't know if you guys have, like, a worst fear injury-wise. I'm sure we've all had injuries. You played sports for a long time, Boyle. I've had a concussion. I've had torn ligaments in my ankle, each of my ankles. Mm-hmm. I've had those problems.
Splinter.
A bad splinter, which the cut is still killing me on. That was a bad dermatologist appointment. I don't know. I've had a broken wrist. Never had any kind of broken bone in my leg, but ligaments in my ankle. The Achilles. I know that's the old saying, it's your Achilles heel. That's my worst fear injury, the popping of the Achilles. I think I'd rather tear an ACL. I know people have torn ACLs and meniscuses. The Achilles, though, to me, is my fear.
You don't want that little one-legged scooter thing?
No. No. I think I'd rather two broken hands at the same time where
no,
somebody's got to help
want
me
that.
Out than have a torn, a popped Achilles.
Stop. Not being able to use your hand for 5-6 months?
Yeah.
Either hand? What are you, nuts?
By the way, this also excludes, clearly I don't want to be blind. With all due respect.
Yeah, no, we're talking about
like limb injuries, yeah.
Yes.
Achilles for me. Hand for you, Boyle?
No. What do you mean?
Like a worst injury?
Worst injury. Your worst fear about getting... Forget what you've had in the past for a second. You're... How old are you?
28.
So you're 28. You're a 28-year-old man. From here until you die, what is the one injury, if you had to pick one, you do not want to experience, either again or going forward?
I mean, I certainly don't need anything happening to the Brajol.
There you go. That's Pat Boyle.
You said worst injury as a 28-year-old guy. What do you think?
All right.
He's got
seed
to spread. He's got to protect the business.
Fair was the question I asked. Yeah. I think that's not in the spirit of the question, but I'll take it.
I'd say probably broken leg.
Broken leg. Or over a torn. Okay. EJ, what do you got?
Well, my dad tore his Achilles twice, so I've seen that recovery.
Brutal?
Brutal. Oof. I mean, he was the guy who played basketball. We both played basketball. And he played basketball up until his mid to late 30s, and that was it. Like, he tore it once, and he tried to go out again,
and
he tore it again, and he never played basketball again.
If you don't mind me asking, how old is he now?
He's 56, just
and
turned 56.
Does he even, exercise at all?
He does now, and, he's done great about getting more active, but it took him a long time.
Probably in the back of your head, you're afraid of even pivoting. That's what I'm talking about. That would always bother me the rest of my life.
Yeah, it scares me. And I've had dislocated shoulders 3 or 4 times. I have a torn labrum. So, that is a rough injury, too. I still would prefer to do that again than do the Achilles.
Need your legs, man. You need your legs. What do you got, Bogus?
Well, I just suffered an injury hearing that EJ's dad's only 10 years older than me. So whatever you call
Jake
that.
Jake Bogus should be running the board in 10 years.
Whatever you call that, I just suffered. I'm afraid of back injuries because everybody has a back injury. They never go away. Mm-hmm. And they ruin your life and they just pop up. It comes back whenever it wants to. So stay away from my back.
Kasura, do you got a worst case injury?
I've had fractured ribs and they suck. So I'm afraid of repeating that, but the one that I would not want to have is the clavicle.
Ooh.
Right up here. I think Romo did that. He got sacked once and fractured his clavicle.
Michael Boley. That was my Facebook picture for a long time, him laying there. Right?
Yeah. And that one really creeps me out.
All right. Jeez.
We're still doing sound check, by the way. Up next is Nuggets head coach Michael Malone talking about how Nikola Jokic receives ridiculous criticism that he isn't vocal enough.
I think that makes for a great story, but I don't know if that's entirely accurate. I think he's, throughout the year, not just the playoffs, he's picked his spots in terms of when to be vocal, when to challenge his teammates. You know, and the game three was just, hey, here's something we can do offensively, which is great, But I think it's even more important when we're playing at Houston and he calls the guys together before the game starts in warm-up lines because he doesn't like how we're warming up. So when he's holding others accountable and he's being a leader in that way, I think that's what really matters.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. I mean, great. I hate to have a no comment here, but like, I didn't even know this was a criticism, Jokic's.
Well, I feel like we're picking at people are picking at straws now, finding anything to try to criticize Jokic.
But how would he
doesn't yell enough.
But how would anybody not in that locker room have that criticism? How do you know? Not you saying in general, I'm saying, but anybody who would criticize Jokic for that?
I guess media.
Just but how would the media know? They're not in. Well, because they don't see him chirping enough down the court.
Yeah, or screaming at teammates.
But they've literally been the best team in the West, if not the NBA, nonstop all year. There's been no downturn to be like, where's the leadership from Jokic?
I was going to ask, when is this little engine that could story going to stop with this team? Like, hey, we're the underdogs. It's us against the world. Like, enough. You swept the Lakers. You're heavily favored in the finals. This isn't a feel-good story anymore. Wow. You're there enjoy it.
Yeah, it has to stop here, because the Heat have the better little engine story. So now they're the big bad Nuggets.
There, now, let's, Greg, to be fair. To be fair, the beginning of the playoffs, man, the Nuggets were the number one seed in the West, and everybody was looking for a reason not to pick them to go to the finals, which is usually everybody goes with the one seed.
Yeah, three rounds ago.
All right.
Well, and then they swept the Lakers.
But I don't think, are they playing the little engine that could now?
I think that when
they
versus
whoever, would they just be, I already forgot, the Lakers.
Again, it's like playing victim, like talking about Jokic in this way. And it's tiring now. Like, you guys should take care of business. This should not be a 6-7 game series. Like, just go and play and win.
More on that later.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Now, to close out soundcheck, everywhere Ryan Hickey is, Hot Take Hickey, host of the Ryan Hickey Show, overnights on the weekends on CBS Sports Radio, the former Pork Store Hours, and producer of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We saw him at the Rose Bowl for Penn State football. Apparently, he's just a traveling Nittany Lion. He went to the lacrosse Final Four, and he's claiming robbery.
All right, we're out here, Final Four. All you ask for when you're at this point in the season is a fair game. Have the players decide the game on the field. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, whether it's brand name, whether it's a check that was written, the referees decided, Duke needs a little help, we're gonna give him some help, and blatantly ignore an obvious crease call that changed, that ended the game. For whatever reason, I guess now there's a rule that I missed, must have, in college lacrosse, where Duke is allowed to break the rules, but no one else can. Duke is allowed to run in the crease, no one else can. So it's sad, it really is, because look, it impacts me, a Penn State fan, but who am I? I'm just one fan, you got thousands of us here. But you know what you really hurt? NCAA and referees, you hurt the players. The kids out there working hard, putting in the practice 365, sweating at 6 a.m. practices in the middle of January, not wanting to be there. They work for those moments to be here. And the referees robbed them of what the moment Penn State deserved. I'm sorry. That is no other way to say it.
So, first of all, the EDM music blaring. I'm assuming that this was the first game was Penn State Duke before whoever Notre Dame beat.
Yes.
He was down at Lincoln Financial Field in Philly. So he gets in the car and goes down.
What a parking
lot
scene.
Man. Oh, that was in the building.
That was still in the building?
Yes, he was in the stand shooting that video with a dumb bucket hat
on. That's your in-between game music at the link?
Now, I'll give Hickey this. Good fan, good alumni going to the game. By the way, for those wondering, Penn State lost to Duke in overtime.
The game-winning goal was definitely controversial.
So it was and there was Hickey to tell you. Now, he's just no big deal. He's one little fan there. Heading out, but it's about the kids. Like I say, the kids driving around in Tulsa, whatever, that was Hickey's spot.
Okay, so you heard how Hickey said it.
Yeah.
You say it the exact same way. Are you proud of yourself for caring about the kids?
I'm actually proud of Hickey there, yeah.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Is there any more bigger group of loser alumni, like, from a school that, like, rah-rah, like, I'm from this school than Penn State?
I mean they were all, everyone's a loser when their team loses. No one loses well.
Boyle, I love this point. I've been trying to workshop topic ideas as we run dry for NBA games. Lower the music here for a second, Jim. You're so right about something. Is there a bigger loser, alumni group? And it dawned on me, definitely Syracuse people.
Yes.
Because we work 100%. With them. But also, it hit me last night. I'm watching when the Celtics make one of their runs down to 9 or 8, and you see the green leprechaun stuff and the shamrocks painted on the face, and you see like the drunk Celtic fans going nuts. I sat there last night and I said, is there a more annoying group of fans than this, than the Boston fans? And I'm really self-aware. And it was within 30 seconds I said, wait, I am this.
Yeah.
This is me when people get aggravated when the Giants finally get rolling or the Rangers get rolling. Mm-hmm. I'm the same exact person as this, and I hate them when it's not my team. So when you say that, you're right, Boyle. You're right in that, boy, these Penn State people, and boy, you know, they were annoying for other reasons a few years ago. But I think we're all annoying. And I think when it's not us and we stare at people being annoying, we don't have enough self-acknowledgement that when it's rolling. Boyle, guess what? When the Knicks were rolling, you were really annoying. Like, really annoying. When you're freaking looking at your phone, we got dogs. He's a dog. That's a dog. Guess what? Celtic fans look at it and go, boy, these Knicks fans are annoying. We're annoying people. Being a sports fan is really annoying. And when you think another fan base is annoying or you hate another fan is annoying, guess what? You're also annoying. And that goes for most of the listeners out here.
That Rangers march to the conference finals, yeah. We were annoying and unbearable.
Annoying.
Yeah, but there's one thing when if a team, your team is doing well and you're, you know, you're pumping your chest and you're supporting your team, there's another thing to be annoying constantly, even when you're a loser football team and a loser. This year. Penn State. It's full of loser sports, and yet we are, as if like they started that chant. There's like 20 other schools.
You've never seen the Knicks win a title in your life. You're screaming in your backyard, drinking beers.
I'm excited. They're good for the first time ever.
Well, the Hickey's excited, too. Clearly, he went to Philly. EJ agrees with me. He's laughing. He knows.
I mean, look, first of all, my mom went to Penn State, so I can't say anything bad about Penn State.
Yes, she can.
You can. No, you're just choosing not to.
No, I can't.
Is she listening right now?
She could be. I don't know. She's
early. This is a safe space.
She's early. She's early. Let her
sorry. Sorry to your mom.
My dad went to the same college Bilotti teaches, and I bash it all the time.
Well, Bilotti's made it better, though. He's raised the level of the university.
I do feel like when you talk about like the Knicks fans, for example, like I think some of that is New York. Like I think I kind of hear where Boyle's coming from, where there are some fan bases where it's like I don't associate like whatever people think of Penn State that I'm not saying, Mom. I don't associate that with Pennsylvania or Philly or Happy Valley, for example. But so I think when people say why they're annoying, it's just that school. With the Knicks, it's like, well, those are New Yorkers. Yankee fans are like that.
I guess.
Mets fans are like that.
But alumni, I think, in general, are annoying.
Yeah.
We can expand upon this more after Caserta's. Maybe there's something there. Something there to mold.
I mean, God forbid Fordham ever gets good at basketball. Look out. You're going to hate me.
Exactly.
You guys were good.
You're good this year.
Yeah, but like really good. Like imagine me at the Final Four.
Well, that's never happened.
And somebody gets screwed by a bad call.
You'll never find me more to be annoying about my school because A, they play Division III. B, the moment you start sending me letters and calling me for donations, I'm out rooting for you. I root against me. 855-212-4227. What do we got, Caserta?
So I just had one thing about Hickey that I was curious about. Had he been drinking heavily? Because
I don't think he went to Philly with water in hand.
Well, but I'm saying early on, he sounded like he did, like he was halfway to where he was at the Rose Bowl, and then he kind of got it better at the end.
Yeah, it sounds like he learned his lesson. The Rose Bowl became unintelligible. That was the whole way through was fine.
Or there's a once-in-a-lifetime experience of going from New York to Pasadena to watch a team play in the Rose Bowl, and there's driving down to Philly to watch the lacrosse Final Four. I just think the moment didn't meet where he was for football.
Because he does, like, the drunk guy thing where, like, you mush your words together, and then, like, but it wasn't like that at the end, so that's why I wasn't sure.
It's a different buzz.
Of the sobriety,
Rose Bowl drunkness is different than lacrosse Final Four drunk.
He's big into peanut butter now, too. That's his guilty pleasure.
Mm. He's becoming... He's becoming a bit much.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe that's the poll question today. Has Ryan Hickey become a bit much? And make sure you tag him in that. That'll be our poll and our advanced analytics later on.
All right, boys, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Bundle today at progressive.com. You started the show with the cold open, or was it the hot open with all that heat sound from Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, and Caleb Martin? Which brings us to good tweet, bad tweet. Boston Celtics title since robbing the Nets in the Pearson Garnett trade, 0.
Good tweet.
Good tweet.
Bad tweet.
EJ?
I already know who it is. I don't think I can comment.
Bad tweet, Boyle?
I know who it is, but I think it was a good tweet.
So that's 3-2.
Yeah.
All right. That was good.
I mean, it's also a factual tweet, so I don't know how it could be a bad tweet.
No, that's why I'm in support of you this time. You're already getting defensive.
Oh, it was me?
You know it was you.
Oh, gosh.
So the drought continues for another year with last night's clunker at TD Garden. The Heat avoided the embarrassment and shame of blowing that 3-0 lead with a relatively easy 103-84 win that gets them back into the finals for the second time in the last 4 years. Still have to get through the favored Nuggets, but Miami is now 4 wins away from its first title in 10 years when LeBron, part of that big three, started this wonderful trend of super teams. The Celtics, led by Jason Tatum, had a built-in excuse after he sprained his ankle a minute into the game.
You know, I came down, you know, on my ankle, and it's tough because it, you know, kind of impacted me. Rest of the night swelled up, and it was just frustrating that I was kind of like a shell of myself.
Cheer up, Buttercup. 14 points, 11 rebounds, 42 minutes for Tatum. Derek White had 18. Jaylen Brown led the way with 19. Brown just 8 of 23 from the floor, 1 for 9 from 3. Now there's some uncertainty about his future because he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
I expected to win today and move on, and that's what my focus was on. That's what my focus has been on. We failed. I failed. And it's hard to think about anything else right now.
And that's what we got for this first update.
Thank you, Greg. Real quickly, Laura Keim follows me on Twitter just to tweet me this. Boyle is 100% right. Penn State alumni are the absolute worst ever. Hands down, barfing emoji. So there you have it. Laura Keim, not happy. All right, when we come back, can DeAndre Hopkins put a new team over the top? It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm not hurting anybody. You're doing something.
I'm hurting somebody?
You're doing something malicious.
Malicious?
100%.
It's a word game that takes 30 seconds.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
If I may.
And you may.
The PS to that story is my defense to Sean's like being furious with Wordle was let it die out. It'll go away. It's kind of gone away. People are still playing, but no one's as obnoxious as they used to be. Guess who's still playing Wordle? Not me. Shawnee boy.
So what does that mean? I'll
still playing it.
I am still playing it because it's a good brain buster. It gets my brain going for the day.
You should learn your states next.
Yeah, it gets my brain going.
Columbia, Montana.
Well, to be fair, I still don't know. What is Montana's abbreviation? M what?
MT, I believe.
It is.
Okay. I mean, for the record, I don't even think there's an O in Missouri, and that's M-O?
There is.
Yep.
M-I-S-S-O-U-R-I. Okay. So why wouldn't that be M-I or M-S?
Because that's Mississippi.
Yeah, M-S is Mississippi.
No, M-I's M-S is Mississippi. Excuse me.
M-I is Michigan.
M-I-S-S.
M-A is Massachusetts.
So O is the next one we get to that's not used. Well, why did Missouri get last pick?
That I don't know how they did that draft.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
M-E is Maine.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, yeah, all right. So you...
M-N, Minnesota.
It's too many M states.
A lot of A's, too. The A's one throw me off.
A? Is there a state that starts with an A?
There's
go
one,
home.
There's
more
hold
go
on,
home.
Hold on. Let me think of one. Jeez, what is a state that's Alaska? A-L?
Yeah. No.
A-K?
A-K.
I got that run right.
Because what else is A-L?
Alabama.
You got it.
There's one more.
Roll Tide.
At least one more.
Arkansas.
There you go.
A-R-K?
A-R. They only use two.
Is that it?
No.
Nope.
Alabama, Arkansas, Alabama.
You said Alabama twice.
Alaska.
Think about the segment you were going to do.
As he looks at his sheet.
Arizona. A-Z.
There it is.
So speaking of which, DeAndre Hopkins, guess what? There was only two teams that had substantive trade talks with him, with the Bills and Chiefs. They both couldn't make the salary work, Bogues. And now Albert Breer's reporting, both are unlikely to land him because it's an open market.
Yeah, they have a collective like $2.5 million cap space. So there's almost no chance of getting him.
Which makes the point. He's searching for the dollars. He's not searching for the Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And can he make that match? Can he put a team that has the dollars a la New England or Detroit, who are both rumored? Can he put either one of those over the top?
I mean, not the Patriots. They're not over the top of bowl.
Can they make the playoffs if DeAndre Hopkins
sucks?
No. He'll never play for Bill O'Brien again either.
Yeah, but he loves Belichick, and Belichick loves him.
Does he love Jared Goff? How about your Giants? What's the official one Giant step?
Not enough cap space.
Okay.
And not the offense. Dable wants to run.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.